Welcome back to episode 200 of the Block Earn Podcast.
Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, we have your host, William, talk to your co-host, Iman. And here are some of the topics they discuss today.
First up, diving into NACATs and bitmaps in Bitcoin and emphasizing the need for deep understanding to truly innovate. Next, addressing the importance of informed cryptocurrency investing, advising listeners to rely on research, personal conviction, rather than succumbing to market hype. Then, navigating the bag bias and responding to misunderstandings surrounding NatMap, stressing the significance of due diligence. And finally, what are the ethical implications of AI-generated content and the potential for manipulation in the crypto space? All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Block Runner Podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
What's going on, dude?
On the sticks, we got TJ.
Hello.
All right, man. So we usually have a bunch of interviews, but again...
It's been quite the string of interview-less episodes here.
So many like reschedulings, and I get it. Like everybody's got all kinds of stuff like colliding.
Correct. Yeah, it's called entropy at work.
Dude, perfect.
The universe is a chaotic space.
If you don't know what entropy is, Google it.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about it for a number of weeks now.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw you a little... physics bone.
Thank you, dude.
It's been like a couple of weeks since we've mentioned thermodynamics.
I'm scratching for any sensibility out there, dude.
I know you're oozing at the pores right now. It's like, where's my physics thermodynamics chat? Instead, what we're going to have to chat is like address like crypto Twitter / YouTube drama, which is like... so off the radar of things that we're interested in.
Yeah, definitely not interesting in the least.
No, unfortunately, it's like we're kind of like bestowed into this kind of these kind of happenings, right? Because our public presence, for one, everything that we're building has to have some sort of
impact.
And yeah, it's part of the public conversation, whether or not there's merit behind the things that we're building.
Yeah.
Is it beneficial? Is it a detraction from what's already been done? All these things, right? So we're part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And the conversation has largely devolved into like a poop flinging contest, or I don't know how you want to identify it.
De-evolution is the best way to put it. But you know what? We sort of expected this. Every cycle, every bull cycle, there's a deep, profound stupidity out there.
Yes.
And that stupidity largely comes from bag bias, which to me is the most fascinating thing of all this. Is like people can push tokens and projects just because they hold the token, even though it's like a baseless, useless token, but they'll pump it anyway because they hold some of it.
Yeah.
It's wild. And a lot of times, like 99.9% of the projects that we talk about, we hold zero tokens. Mm-hmm. Why? For no reason. We don't have a lot of money, first of all. And second, we can't like, you know, purchase a bunch of tokens and talk about it and like pump our bags. Like, what's the point? Like, we talk about stuff that's interesting.
Right. But yeah, so that's just us. But like this activity of like communal bag bias and pumping metals and stuff like that, it is actually one of the killer features like of like Web3 and tokenization of things.
Yeah, such a good point.
It really is. And Yatsu said it best like recently, if you know who Yatsu is, Animoca Brands founder.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess like the biggest thing about like crypto tokens is like they're proxies for network effect, right? That's how he says it.
Sure.
Right. One of the most difficult things to achieve in like in business and in human consciousness, I guess, is like a network effect. Some sort of idea of propagation that actually like captures enough support and attention from other people.
Not only that, what you're talking about could potentially save humanity.
What?
Right? Remember we interviewed Jacob Steves, the founder of BitTensor?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you know what? You know, it's not going to be implants, technical implants in our brain that's going to save us from AI. You know what it is going to be? A token, right? Because it aligns the incentive mechanisms of humanity and the AI.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's what we're seeing, like a repropagation of that continually in this like whole Web3 ecosystem in space. So yeah, of course that gets like a it's a double-edged sword, right? People can use that for positivity or negativity, right? And
that's right, yeah.
But nonetheless, so yeah, you have to deal with the consequences of that. Like human beings are like the most emotional creatures,
dude,
and it can result in very like ugly behavior. I guess I don't know how else to say it. Where people all of a sudden they're putting out false accusations on others.
Yeah,
they're intentionally putting out misinformation, and the motivation behind it all is because, you know, that other camp over there is potentially like in competition within our camp. Because, you know, yeah, they're competing for that network effect race, right? Like, who's going to aggregate the most interest? Because they're all shared the same collective pool called humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without realizing the actual scope of, like, humanity, it's pretty tremendous and massive, right? Like,
yeah, it's way bigger than crypto.
Yeah, it's huge. So you don't have to, like, put that much effort in trying to, like, basically...
Like, divide.
Yeah, dividing everything else that's being attempted, like in the space, and like only one way is like the way, right? And
it
happens to be my way because I happen to be like financially motivated.
That's right.
To kind of like garner this type of support, right? So
yeah,
that is largely the thing that is kind of polluting right now the ordinal space, and it's driving a lot of that negativity in our direction, right? Because we're part of that space. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason we're talking about it is because so many in the community members are asking, is like, hey, what are your thoughts on this? And like constantly hitting us up. I was like, what are our thoughts?
Yeah. Your position is always like, dude, it's like, we're just building and we're just talking about things that we're interested in. Like,
that's right.
So it's like, if people don't like that and they become like hateful as a result, like, let's just ignore that and let's just move on.
Yeah. Because it really doesn't matter if people hate it.
Yeah.
Like it's our vision of how we think the a community is going to form, right? It's going to be via bitmaps or via DMT. And that's it. If you disagree with that, the good thing is you don't have to buy any of this stuff. You don't have to inscribe it. You don't have to participate. You can just ignore it. And that's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
Right. But to actively hate on it, I mean, that's just a waste of your time. And that's why we essentially ignore that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess there's been some, I don't know, just attempts at discrediting, I guess, our intentions or motivations.
Yeah.
With everything we've done with DMT and the NAT framework and stuff. It's a lot of it is coming from like the bitmap community, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, something that I think it's pretty evident that we've provided a lot of support.
But people have a short attention span, right? They'll forget. As a matter of fact, I saw someone in the DM saying like, the block runners never even supported bitmap in the first place. And then I just like replied with it with a facepalm. I was like, you know, these are the things, this is why it's better just to kind of ignore this stuff because it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. These people that are complaining are not actually building anything.
Yeah.
Right. And those people who are not complaining, they're just like, they're just like looking at what's happening and then trying to, you know, look for drama. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's another set of people.
Yeah.
Right. Cause they're looking for some entertainment and drama. And like that to me is a little boring.
Yeah. I don't know if that's like 100%. If the motivation is just like, let's get some drama going cause we're bored.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just that.
No, it's not that. It's just inaccuracies eliciting this.
Yeah.
Like motivation, I guess.
Correct. So, I mean, yeah, we have a lot of things happening at once, right? Like DMT, how long has it been? Like since November?
November 20th.
Yeah, a lot has happened. We did the NAT token as like a demonstration. This is how you deploy a non-arbitrary token, you know, with the Gitbook release and everything like that. It got index support about a month later.
Yep.
And then trading began. It quickly became like one of the top fungible tokens in the Meta protocol Bitcoin space.
Yeah, and it still is. I mean, it has like 19,000 holders or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, like what's been done, right? So during that whole phase, there's people like, you know, saying like that this is not good. This is like something that should have been an exclusive ability for like Bitmap.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah. So, okay, it should have been exclusive to Bitmap, like the whole thing, the whole framework. It should have been exclusive. How does one propose that we maintain that exclusivity?
You mean like enforce, like maintain,
how do you enforce this?
Yeah, what you mean is like the actual like gatekeeping of data within like a bitmap block. How do you actually technically enforce it? I don't know. I'm sure you've wrestled with this idea.
Yes, I'll tell you the answer. You can't.
Yes, please.
Okay. You can't enforce it. You want to know why? Yeah, because why? We were able to do DMT. That's why.
Yeah.
And if we didn't do it, somebody else would. We're not the only smart ones in the in the class here.
Yeah, we're definitely not the only ones who's going to like look into Bitcoin data and be like, you know what? Like there's some potential like that can be leveraged here. Yeah, definitely not. We're not superhuman in any way.
We didn't come from the future.
Correct. Yeah. So that is, I guess, what you're saying, the proof that it isn't like technically enforceable. Now, there's a lot of things that can be technically enforced that is like a result of like bitmap ecosystem development.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Like a different like a deployment stack that is like native to a bitmap.
Yeah.
Right. It can be architected in a way like that only bitmap owners have some sort of deployability rights for this type of content.
And the only reason why that's even possible is because it's part of the Ord wallet protocol called parent-child inscriptions.
Yeah.
Right. If that didn't exist, you couldn't even enforce this without that technology.
Correct.
Right. Because it exists, we're leveraging it. And all of a sudden, if you hold a bitmap, you can inscribe block drop tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is specifically for bitmap ecosystem. Right. Yeah. The thing that some claim that we don't talk about anymore.
Bitmaps. Yeah.
We've only said bitmaps like a zillion times in this podcast.
Yeah. I think we've talked about bitmaps a lot. I don't know. I mean,
You might be biased, dude.
I don't know, dude. We've talked a lot about bitmaps.
You're just a block runner biased.
We've talked about it in so many different like facets. We've tried our best to inject our own personal experience, like many years of developing in the metaverse space. We've seen it all, literally. And we're actually actively not just building, we're building openly. We discuss these things that we're working on. And the people who are throwing like these types of attack in our direction are the ones who are not paying attention, right?
And the ones who are not building anything.
That too.
For the record, guys, I just pulled up the bitmap playlist on our YouTube, 45 videos.
45 videos, dude.
Oh, that's it? That's nothing, dude.
Yeah, 45 videos. Can you like calculate like an average, like I guess like minutes?
Yeah, how many minutes is that?
How many minutes it's of just, like...
I guess average 20 minutes 20 each. Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 30 minutes maybe.
There's some like bangers in there that like we just couldn't keep it within the 20 minute like...
Yeah.
Time frame. It's like, we just got to keep going, dude. We're trying to cover it all.
Yeah.
We're trying to talk about all the developments in bitmap.
Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay. Last week we missed one because if you're not paying attention, a lot is happening again in the DMT ecosystem, and we have to uphold that as well because that is part of the bitmap ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's 100%. Designed to integrate within everything that has happened to bitmap, and support like a main component to that digital economy. So a lot of people don't understand the complexity of digital economics, and they don't understand it has to come from varying sources. It's not just Satoshi Nakamoto does this, and therefore. That's what the metaverse is going to proliferate. Yeah. That is not the metaverse, guys.
Correct. Correct.
You guys have to like understand the scope of what the metaverse actually is.
Yes.
It's not Satoshi.
It's not.
Sorry. It's a good ground framework to like get the wheels in motion for these components to kind of come in place.
Yeah.
DMT is one of the facets of like what can make up an umbrella metaverse that incorporates many different individual components.
I feel like this is obvious, man.
It's not. Obviously not. It has to come from either like from somebody again, and it goes back to this bag bias thing, right? You know, somebody's contributed. Let's talk about Jeff.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Sure.
He's contributed quite a bit. He's one of these facets to the metaverse umbrella that is what Satoshi set forth, this bitmap thing, right? He came up with his own ecosystem contributions, VRC 420.
Yeah.
Right. The content standard of the metaverse. Now it's like people have benefited from like being early to that, right?
Sure.
Identifying the opportunity that, and it's like now that he's kind of like leveraged these like successful contributions to like build all this momentum, there's this bias within that ecosystem. Like now, like the whole control of like the future destination of this space needs to be from that.
Yeah.
Like everything else is like disrupting and dividing what is actually important here, right?
Right.
That's where the bias comes in.
Yeah, but the block runner guys are the ones defining bitmaps. It's the block runner guys. But you know what's actually dividing bitmaps is the actual dividing line of sending your bitmaps to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what's actually dividing it.
Yeah, if you go to like bitmap.community, like in case you haven't noticed, like
check that out.
The actual like holder count has gone down drastically, and if there's a true division within the bitmap ecosystem, that's already happened.
Yeah, so I think it was a week ago we did a bitmap takeover, and we're talking about 33,000 holders. Mm. There's 3,000 less holders now.
Yeah, so where did they all go?
So where'd they all go, right? They all sent their bitmaps to a lockup at Merlin.
Another walled garden ecosystem, essentially.
Yeah.
So that is like the fractionalization of an ecosystem, right? That's what we've seen so many times in like, you know, Web3's past, like in the previous attempts at building a metaverse. It's like, let's divide these different attempts at building metaverse infrastructure and stuff into pockets of silos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then therefore we're creating this, like, you know, these things that don't like cohesively align, I guess is what you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess there's a lot of this whole sentiment is at stake. It's like, you know, which is going to be the actual most cohesive alignment mechanisms, I guess, like out of all the ones we have to choose from right now. If you recall, like in the beginnings of a bitmap, what was the infrastructure component to like enabling all this to even happen? It was Track, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I mean, we were there covering it. Vitoshi, Blockomoto, yeah,
Track was extremely early to bitmap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were talking about bitmaps when it had 300 inscriptions.
Yeah.
And Track and Benny, they saw value in bitmap as well, and he started to index it. He's among the earliest to support bitmap as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, these are the people that come before the wave. Those are the ones that you should trust, not the people that come after the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time that people come after the wave, anytime the price goes down, all of a sudden there's panic.
Mm.
It's like, oh, it's the price is going down because of DMT. Mm. That's why.
Yeah.
Right. But because people who bought after the wave, they bought when bitmap was like at $250.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now they bought at $250. Now it's worth $100. They're like, oh, it's because of the DMT guys.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet we have bitmaps since they were a dollar each.
That's right.
Right. So, I mean, we don't have like that, that limited perspective.
Yeah.
Because we didn't buy bitmaps at $250.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is the result of having this bag bias, is that all of a sudden you hinge your entire existence based on whether the number goes up or it goes down. Mm-hmm. Like that, there's going to be competitors to literally every token that you have in your wallet.
Yeah.
And as a result, you're going to have this FOMO, this FUD mentality, all this like perspectives because you're holding this token. You know how to avoid that? You hedge. There's an actual word to minimize this emotion.
If your emotion is completely reliant and dependent on, like the number go up metrics of like this ecosystem. Yeah, you're right. That is like the de facto practice to mitigate any kind of risk. It's like maybe you're actually wrong.
Maybe, right? Bitmaps isn't going to be the biggest metaverse in the universe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to be something in the DMT ecosystem, even though Bitmap is a DMT token.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be all these other things. Like, we don't know anything about OrdiMap, or, you know, there's a Stax map. Now there's so many different maps and stuff. And like, you know, the reaction, the gut instinct reaction from the Bitmap community is like, hate it all.
Yeah.
These are all attempts to dilute like the,
and to a large extent, they're right. They are large attempts to extract liquidity. They really are.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Right. Yeah. It could still get traction.
One of them might not be. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them might not
one
be.
One of them could actually be like, they could have a better idea potentially that we haven't explored that provides an even better like foundational framework for metaverse development. We don't know.
Yeah. There was a bunch of metaverses on Bitcoin before Bitmap.
Yeah.
And Bitmap just like dominated them because it was a better interpretation of a metaverse.
Do you guys want to take some time and address the Nats map?
Oh, Nat maps? What are Nat maps, dude?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess
we keep seeing this thing. I don't even know what it is.
I noticed I didn't even mention it when I was like thinking of like other maps
that
could be like competing against Bitmap because it doesn't, because it's not real. It's not an actual thing.
Yeah, it's not.
And there's people still out there propagating it as such. Like it's still like a remnant of like focus that needs to be, you know, destroyed at all costs, because again, it's going to detract from our number go up.
Yeah.
Potentially.
You're hurting my bags. Therefore, yeah. That's a scam.
Yeah. Without doing the actual due diligence of whether or not, and the due diligence was like, this was debunked months ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's people out there with influence and they're talking about this as if it's still like a prevalent, like a real thing.
Yeah.
It's like an actual demonstration of the lack of due diligence that's being had, you know?
Yeah. And this lack of due diligence that these people have, you know, what else could they be wrong about? Because they're not doing their due diligence there either.
Right. Or like how much of an influence is that bias, like, you know, navigating their decision not to do the diligence, you know, is it more like, I don't need to do that due diligence because I've already made a decision beforehand. It's like, I already have made the decision to attack this thing because, you know, it is in opposition to what it is that benefits me.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
right.
So I could say whatever I want in context of that, right? It doesn't matter if it's true or not.
That's right.
Let's just galvanize all this, like this attempt to try and like, you know, devalue or diminish whatever it is being done outside of, you know, what's important to me.
Also known as bag bias.
Also known as like misinformation. Also known as like shit flinging.
Yeah.
Also known as
it's wasting time. You know, things that are not interesting.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
So what is the story behind NatMap, sir?
So
you have to go back in time.
Well, so we launched NET, the token, the ticker. And I think 2 or 3 days after that, Ordinal's Wallet swooped in and they're like, hey, you can mint NET over here. So then you click on this Ordinal's link, Ordinal's Wallet link. And then
they literally swooped in.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so you click on it and it says NatMaps. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the hell is this? This is not Nat.
Yeah.
And then people minted it and it turns out it was Nat. It was like the actual correct inscription and JSON. It was everything's correct except just had this giant NatMap on there as if like it was, I don't know, competing with Bitmap.
And they also added to that with like a nice little like AI generated graphic of like
a metaverse
Landscape.
Yeah.
To like the NatMap, I guess like a banner portal.
Yeah,
the banner. So that added to the confusion, right? So I mean, that's up to Ordinal's Wallet. They're allowed.
Yeah, they're allowed to call whatever it is that they want. Like, because in my interpretation of this NatMap thing is like, oh, this is the product that they're trying to push out. It's like the product is a bunch of squares that you click on and then you inscribe in. That's the NatMap. It's like, okay, that's the name of it. It's cool. Yeah.
Context to that, actually, it's a good name.
It is a good name.
So that's what they called their dashboard for minting NATs, right?
Was NatMap. Well, I think there was actual confusion. I think they did think it was a competitor to a metaverse or something like that.
Well, a competitor to Bitmap, right?
To Bitmap, yeah.
Yeah, specifically. Even though like the minting process was nothing like Bitmap, there was no blockhite.natmap, right?
Correct.
This was a whole different syntax.
This is a JSON structure.
Right, that comes from a whole different like theory. Like they did the due diligence and like did enough research to understand what it is that's actually being done, you know, it would have been like more properly, I guess, propagated. But it took a couple of days, and I think they listened to the community's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a little different. I think they changed the name.
Yeah.
But within that 2-day time frame, it was already like damage was done, right?
Yeah. And
the community with the backlash was like fierce. It's like, yeah, this is like a threat, just like we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it needs to be destroyed. Now, let's imagine it actually was a Bitmap competitor, again, in a scenario where it had some semblance of a better technical infrastructure proposition.
Sure.
It would have received the same vitriolic response from the community, which is like not a good thing. It's like I'd imagine this is a lot like whenever Ethereum first like generated, like the Bitcoin maxi crowd.
Yeah.
Must have reacted the same way. It's like, what do you mean you're trying to create like smart contracts and like
you can't even
functional
do that.
Tokens and stuff like that? It's like, you could do this on Bitcoin. Yeah. We've been discussing colored coins for the last year or two now.
Yeah.
You know, Stacks is on the way. It's like, what, you know, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you try to divide and fraction and bifurcate this thing called crypto?
Right.
It's all Bitcoin, bro.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, you do that, you stifle innovation. Now fast forward 15 or 12 years later, now we're rushing to deploy all the innovations that were built on Ethereum on Bitcoin.
Yes.
Right? So but if you would have listened to those maxis, you would have stopped innovation and progress.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's like, you know, now that we're all supporting Merlin, which has now aggregated all this technology and innovation that is originated from Ethereum.
Yeah, that's right. Merlin is a Polygon blockchain.
Yeah.
It's like, let's scale Bitcoin. Let's just move all our assets from Bitcoin to Ethereum.
A side chain.
Yeah. Let's do that instead of stifling and looking at technology like BitVM. It's like, that is a viable Bitcoin layer 2 technology.
Potentially.
Yeah. And that hasn't even been released yet. Like, but there's one project that's working on it.
Yeah.
Which thereby is interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, we want to do more due diligence on all of that because, native L2 infrastructure to Bitcoin is a big deal, right? And we understand it's going to take time to actually, properly integrate this and, properly deploy these things. Just like it took time for, Ethereum to figure out its actual native scaling abilities, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the whole thing with this whole Polygon copy pasta stuff, it's fine, right? People want to create a casino over there, right? You can create tokens and launch a bunch of tokens in that casino all you want, and hopefully it goes up. And that's a totally fine way to spend your time.
Yeah, just so long as it's being very transparent and very authentic in its marketing and its education to the people who are actually rushing their assets into this thing.
We've listened to Jeff speak about Merlin, and he says it with his voice that Merlin is not a layer two. He says it several times in his talking, in spaces and interviews. But then you go to the website, it says Bitcoin layer two.
Yeah.
It's it's not honest marketing.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a division between his marketing department and he just has no oversight over what they're saying. It definitely doesn't match with his actual
Words. Actually says, yes.
Yeah. So
man, but this compartmentalization of people is just fascinating.
Yeah.
It is so fascinating that you can give people some tokens and all of a sudden they'll die for them, practically, metaphorically speaking.
I was in that position in 2017 when I first got into this space. I was one of those, so I understand it. I get it.
Yeah.
I can get passionately on board with an ecosystem, a project, whatever, out of pure bias. You know, it's I see all these other competitors. If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my EOS days.
Yeah.
Now that's a real fucking dinosaur, a relic of the past, even though it's still out there churning away.
Yeah. They raised $4 billion.
Yeah.
Of course they're churning.
A $4 billion ICO. A year-long ICO.
A year-long. I remember that.
Yeah. That was one of the craziest things happening in all of crypto back then. And I was in there.
Yeah.
I was in there. I was a believer, dude, to the point where I was I'm ready to
You even
went to New York.
Yeah, you even invited me. I was hell no, I'm not going to New York for that.
Do you want to come to my cult meeting? Yeah.
I remember I-Man had real talks about getting an EOS tattoo.
Talks, dude.
I remember that.
Real talks.
Yeah, I don't understand the tribalism, but could you guys talk more about Ethereum?
Right. Dude, yeah. See, you're the best Ethereum, exactly. Maxi.
But bought the t-shirt.
You bought the t-shirt. You're going to name your ranch one day once, Ethereum is actualized into the five-figure ranges.
Right. Yeah.
It's Ethereum Ranch, dude.
Yeah, you know? It's got to be.
It's got to be Ethereum Ranch. And I get it. Right. Now, you might not, I don't know. You've had some calls in the past where it's the graph is actually very useful, guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're willing to die on that.
No.
Cross.
No, I mean, because the graph's usefulness is independent of number going up. It true. Really is.
You focus,
everybody uses the graph. It doesn't matter whether the number goes up or down. It's still extremely useful. And that's the point. That's where you want to find interesting things, because when you find interesting things early enough, you get into things where number actually stays up, we did with Bitmap.
True. Yeah. So that's what we've been preaching on this channel and actively, what's the word? Demonstrating throughout our entire existence, right?
Yeah.
Being able to identify NFTs in its earliest phases, right?
Yeah.
Being able to identify the metaverse and Sandbox and Decentraland, all these things. And it's literally, it's penny days.
Yeah.
Right. being able to identify DeFi in its earliest days, like all these things, you know, now ordinals in its earliest days, Bitmap, BRC20s, all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that comes from, let's not forget Potensor. That yeah, was, throw that in.
Yeah.
We were there and we saw the value in that before, like, you know, Vitalik is chiming in. It's like, if you're going to do AI on crypto, you do it how Potensor is doing.
That's right.
So it's like, because we have this real conviction because it comes from our actual
fundamental understanding of the technology.
That's right.
That is extremely important if you want to understand like where problems are and who's working on solutions.
Yeah.
Right. If you understand that, then you're able to find stuff before they explode.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And so that's part of the premise of this channel. But it's never been like, and we've always understood, if somebody actually comes up with like a real technology innovation, immediately we know what's coming after that. It's going to be competition.
100%.
And we always say
it works.
Yeah. It's like anytime anything emerges, like we're telling our audience, like, guys, expect like 100 different copycat versions of this.
Yes.
Some of them might actually be better. Some of them are clearly going to be scams.
Yes.
So PSA, like, don't buy any of this. It's just like very entertaining to observe it all come and like roll out.
Yes. We said that about ordinals. Mm-hmm. We said that about Bitmap. And what happened with, there's a pandemic of ordinals. Inscriptions everywhere. Inscriptions are responsible for a lot of the activity in most of the other chains.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have like this map explosion on all these other chains as well. We predicted all these because we know how the systems work. We know how the mind works. Correct. We know what people are going to try to do. They're going to try to grift. They're going to try to extract liquidity. And a lot of this stuff is not genuine. Bitmap is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it just came from a guy who had a really thoughtful idea about using blockchain data. Mm-hmm. And nobody paid attention to him until he pinged us.
Yeah.
Nobody. And then
literally nobody.
Yeah. I mean, he hit up Leonidas and Trevor. He hit up everybody, and then he hit us up.
Yeah.
And then that's when we talked about it, and then it exploded from there.
Yeah.
So.
But we don't talk about Bitmap, though.
Yeah, never. We've never mentioned
that's
Bitmap.
That's not on our radar. That's not our focus. We give zero fucks.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the thing I wanted to add to that is, like, the thing that we don't do is, like, is engage in this, like, fucking shit-flinging nonsense. It's, like, it's okay for competition.
It is.
It's okay. Like, there's no reason. And if you could do comparative analysis all day long, but you don't, like, especially do things like, I don't even want to drop names, like architect lies and, like, try and dox people about, like, personal meetings you've had with them and stuff like that and try and paint them out to look like bad people and stuff like that. That is very...
It's ugly.
That's bad. That does not look
good. It's not a good look. It's not a good look for you, man.
Not for just you. Like, the whole fucking thing. Like, if you're an outsider looking in, it's
that's true.
You're thinking is, like, is anything of actual substance happening in this space? And you see, like, shit thing
leaving. Yeah, exactly.
Literally, think you're... Put yourselves in the shoes of an alien.
Yeah.
Like, you're coming in, like... Or your little UFO spaceship. It's like, let's see what's happening on Bitcoin.
It was like shit flinging only.
It's like the best place to kind of like understand is like the YouTubers, right? And they're fucking throwing shit at each other.
Yeah.
All day. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Let me like not go there.
Yeah. Let's go back to Web 2.
Something. I don't know. But yeah, it's not a good look. It's not healthy. And again, it stifles innovation and progress. It's like, it's just not good. Mm-hmm. But it is like an innate component to human beings.
It is
humanity.
And I feel like that's probably the most fascinating thing about this is that we can easily be manipulated, right? It's very simple.
Not just manipulated. Yeah, manipulated and like I guess manipulated is the right word, but exploited in a way.
Yeah, manipulated and exploited. Yeah.
Think about it. How was Hitler able to like convince an entire generation of like his atrocities,
because people believed in what he believed in.
Yeah, I'm not saying crypto is Hitler or anything like that. No. I'm using that as an example of like the human condition of like humans are susceptible to manipulation and exploitation.
Yeah, I mean,
and that is like the end of the spectrum of like how egregious it can go.
Yeah, 100%.
Like crypto is like probably somewhere in the middle grounds where it's like, you know, these tokens can be leveraged to
humanity. Right. But they can also be used to like scam everybody.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Tap into those, whatever those neural connections, those components are within us that like drives us to fling shit at another person.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is the dangerous part. And that is the frightening part of all this. It's like,
yeah,
something as innocent as like a fucking digit on a screen can be harnessed and, like, you know, inspire this type of activity and behavior.
Yeah, that's fascinating, dude.
You find it, I find it truly frightening.
It is frightening at the same time. I agree.
I didn't know where you're going with this one, man, but I'm glad it came out for the best.
Yeah.
As soon as I said Hitler, I knew, like, you're like, uh-oh, radars. But sometimes it's important to, like, you know, analyze history, I like to do.
I mean, Hitler is the most egregious manipulation attempt. Right. But you're right. I mean, a little digit number, like, on your computer screen is enough to manipulate people. Yeah. That's what's fascinating.
Correct. Yeah, I guess I'm also fascinated by it, too.
Yeah.
I won't lie. It's crazy. Cryptocurrency, this whole Web3 thing, it's one of the more, you know, like, if you're into psychology or...
Oh, yeah. This is all psychology.
Sociology, maybe. I don't know. Human studies.
Yeah.
This is one fascinating realm to kind of, like, observe and, like, you know, understand, like, what it is that makes us do these types of things.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if we were to take a position on anything, we would be block data maxis.
Now, describe that.
It's in the same way that I would say that I'm a physics maxi.
Well, you're definitely a science maxi ever since I've known you.
Yeah.
Like, my whole life. And I've known you since I was, like, a little youngling.
Yeah.
and you've always been this guy who's had this, like, very, like,
I was like the man of science guy.
Just objective approach. It's like you don't want to deal with anything that's outside the realm of, like, provability and, like,
yeah,
which is science, right? Like, it's
been it's because it's verifiable, right?
That's the word. I said provability.
Yeah,
you know what I meant.
Yeah, it's verifiable and
scientists, not linguists.
And because things are verifiable, you can stand on that position. And. And when the facts change, my mind changes, right? And so if Pluto no longer is a planet, well, and the scientific community agrees, and Pluto is no longer a planet, it is what it is.
Stop you right there, Will.
Yeah, how dare you disrupt my my nostalgic childhood.
Dude. Right, right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
I am biased. I grew up with a fucking blanket that had Pluto on it.
Right, right. Yeah.
How dare you disrupt my reality.
And that's you know... a remnant of, like, our ability to, like, to be tribal, right? We shouldn't be tribal about things. We should be objective and independent and look at things objectively, right? And if Bitmap is going to have a competitor, let it compete.
Yeah, let it compete.
And the invisible hand will decide which is the winner.
Correct.
Right? And if there's two winners, like there's Apple and Microsoft, well, there's two winners.
Yeah. And then as a result, we get, like, better products.
Exactly.
Right? Because... Look at Apple just put out, like, the biggest fucking, like,
technological, like, product.
Well, like, yeah, the biggest, like, you know, fire under, like, you know, Meta's ass and whoever the other's ass is attempting to, like, play in this metaverse, you know, hardware arena.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Apple clearly isn't fucking around.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're definitely about it, you know? So it's like, we better step up our game.
Yeah.
Now we all collectively must innovate and push the ball forward, right? Not like, you know, it's like, oh, it seems like, you know, Apple has, like, the best thing as of right now. So, like, the rest of us just close up shop.
Yeah, right.
There's no need for that, right?
Yeah. You
know, free markets are the result of our, like, economic abundance. You know, there's a reason why we're in this current state, right? It's the free market dynamics that, like, you know.
Yeah.
That have been introduced into our society.
Yeah. Like, think about being Mark Zuckerberg right now. You see this announcement from Apple. It's like the $3,500 headset. And what the result of this is that you get more sales of your $500 headset. You want to know why? Because now we have a huge camp of Apple talking about VR headsets.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, some people look at it as like, yeah, I can't afford
$3,500. That's
right. But you know what I can afford? That $500 headset. And that's good enough.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
It's good for in context of the price differential and, like, what I can afford. Yeah. What I can,
it's a good, it's a good product.
That is the product for me.
Yeah.
Right. And now we have, like, a market with different demographics that are being supplied. You know, it's like, it's beautiful. This is what economics looks like.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Competition.
Yeah.
And builders, you have more people coming and making apps. For
exactly.
These
yeah. Now all of a sudden the metaverse becomes, like, a real possibility.
Correct. Which is hyper relevant to, like, this bitmap discussion because again, like, if you go back and read the original bitmap theory, bitmap is a metaverse, like, visualization standard rooted in the data, I guess, derivative data of bitmap block data, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I kind of like really butchered the fuck out of that, but I'm not Batoshi, so yeah. I didn't say it perfectly, but go to bitmap.community. Like, we actually are there.
Yeah.
What do you see here? This is the metaverse visualization standard right here.
Yeah.
It says nothing about, like, you know, bitmap is this, like, you've now officially claimed the data on Bitcoin from here on forever. Like, and again, like we talked earlier, there's no way to even enforce that. So the fact that people are going around with that delusion in mind, it's
wild, dude.
It's wild.
It's so wild how you can assume that by owning a block on Bitmap means you own all of the data.
Yeah.
No one else can do anything else with that data.
Nothing. You have to, like, you know, sign my wallet.
Yeah.
Because I own this Bitmap, and like then you can, you know, you can get access to things. It's like,
dude, it's so wild.
It's not.
And it comes from a lack of understanding of how this technology actually works. How does Ordinal's wallet work? Mm-hmm. How does the Ord wallet work? How does inscriptions work? Mm-hmm. I remember when we first found Ordinal's, and you were buying some tokens, and I'm like, I mean, how do you actually transfer these tokens? Like, you said, well, you have to create a transfer inscription. I'm like, what? What do you mean? I have to create another inscription so I can send these assets. Why can't I just send my assets? Like, you're like, I don't know. That's how it works. And
that's
so
right.
Not until we actually looked at why it works that way. It makes sense why it works that way.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't understand, you'll never have like any chance at coming up with anything new in the space.
Correct.
Right? All you're doing is just talking. And you're not innovating, you're not building. And if all you do is talk, you'll never deeply understand how this stuff works and never be able to introduce anything new. Mm. And that's what we do. We try to find stuff and understand stuff specifically so we can do something with it.
Yeah, we have to. Like, we have to be on this bleeding edge of the technology, the infrastructure, because, you know, we're not only... we're users of it.
Yeah, right? we're users. We're builders.
Right. Yeah, we're users. But now we have to by force contribute to it to actually get to the end result product that we have in mind, that we have envisioned. Right. We have some tremendous visions. We've always had very high ambitions for this metaverse space.
Yeah.
And it was as difficult as it was on Ethereum landscape. There's so many things technically that were like not in place, and like we spent so much time.
Yeah.
Trying to like solve these things, and then we, you know, coming to Bitcoin, it just adds an even more complexity layers of like difficulty to actually achieve the grand vision.
Yeah, right?
And it's like fuck.
Yeah,
but it's okay, right?
Yeah,
that is kind of like the point of all of this, right?
Yeah,
it's like you don't just talk about it; like you have to contribute to it, because otherwise, it never comes to fruition. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we work on building Bitmap OS, because we are trying to actually make this into a 3D environment that looks exactly like this map, right? Mm-hmm. You jump into this thing, it looks like this in 3D.
Yeah.
And you can actually deploy content on here. That's the stuff that we work on, because we believe the metaverse is going to be a $1 trillion ecosystem.
And again, if you actually read Bitmap Theory and understood it, you would understand like Bitmap OS is the actual application of what it is Batoshi Blakamoto said that a bitmap is, right? It is what you're actually entitled to as a bitmap owner is the parcelization of a bitmap. These little squares within these bitmaps, you have the rights to that.
But Iman, why don't you just go to Bitmap Game and just look at a giant square?
Oh, I mean, I could do that too.
Yeah. But that giant square doesn't actually represent the parcelization.
Right. Yeah, agreed. It's not. So
it's insanity what's happening, dude.
That whole thing, it's a wrapper around the theory. It's not an actual application of bitmap. It's not. It's a derivative like application to bitmap theory. So it's not bitmap. So Bitmap OS is actually like us attempting to make Batoshi's Blakamoto's vision come to reality.
To actualize Batoshi's vision.
You guys mean to tell me you guys are building on Bitmap?
No.
That's not at all what we're doing.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, we're just talking, dude.
Yeah, we just talk, dude. We don't do anything.
But certainly not about Bitmap, though.
No, definitely not. No, so, but we do talk about DMT, though.
We do. And man, fuck us for doing that. Fuck us for talking about anything else.
Yeah.
Ever, dude. It's like bitmap needs to be the only word coming from our mouth from here on.
It's almost as if we're here just to pump everybody's bags. What do you think about that?
That's why we're here?
That's why we're here, dude.
Well, I've definitely, I think people like would like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Judging by the comment section, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think especially, no offense to you like stamps guys, every fucking video, dude, it's like win stamps.
Yeah.
Win SRC 20 pump.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we hear you guys, but fucking hey, dude, give it a break. Give it a rest, lads.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
We looked into stamps. There's not a whole lot of interesting stuff there.
I mean, it's cool and, you know, it's stamps, bro.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's fine.
We're not going to fling shit at it because it's competing against ordinals.
Yeah.
It's cool. Stamps is allowed to stamp and do some stampy things. Yeah. Stamp all day, dude.
Stamp on, bro.
Stamp on.
Yeah.
Stamp on your enemies, stamp on your friends, whatever. We're in full support of all this shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can't cover it all, unfortunately, because I mean,
we got stuff to do.
We're not AI.
Yeah.
We can't just like propagate what it is everybody wants us to, unfortunately. We just can't do it. One day we probably could.
Yeah.
If we could wrap our, you know, make a personal AI.
Yeah.
And then you can just go to our Blockrunner website. It's like, you know, hey, Blockrunner guys, what do you think of stamps? And then it'll give you like a sensible reply.
It'll create like an AI podcast, like of us talking about stamps.
Yeah, then you don't actually need us to say anything anymore. So like the AI will interpret our understanding of like all of Web3.
Yeah.
And cook you up a nice little, you know, user-generated response.
Yeah.
And then you do with that what you want, so. Man, we've always wanted to do that.
I'm hoping for that future, dude.
I feel like we could do that.
I think it's coming.
But that takes like a lot more work.
And you could get all the bitmap videos you wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you want a bitmap video like every 30 minutes, just like query the AI.
30 minutes?
It's like,
dude, there's videos now. You could do Sora.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They couldn't like do us though, right?
Not yet. But there's AI where you feed it data of us and it will manipulate us.
That's what I mean. Like,
that's a different AI.
But that's not Sora.
No, it's not Sora.
But if you use like Sora's like video rendering artificial intelligence technology,
yeah, you're just combining it. Yeah, for
and sure. Then it's like you could literally, reproduce our whole fucking podcast potentially.
100%.
Oh my god, that's actually really scary. Yeah, it's like we're literally useless at that point.
We can train AI sufficiently right now, just for us to like step away.
Yeah,
and then.
That's pretty cool though. Also at the same time, like if there's enough wealth of like content for us to just like upload into all this different like large language model, I guess.
Yeah. A form of our consciousness would exist forever.
This
video brought to you by Sora.
I know. OpenAI. Yeah. OpenAI sponsored, dude.
Yeah. And dude, we're getting to the point in the market where people are hitting us up for us to talk about them. And we have like a moral conundrum because... Yeah. If we talk about projects and they do some sort of rug pull after that, or we talk about, you know, some sort of, you know, activity that's happening within the crypto ecosystem and it turns out to be like nefarious.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't police everything. We can't like look deeply enough to find, someone potentially about to rug pull you. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't do all that because we don't know what's inside the brain.
Yeah.
And we're seeing
this
shit in real time, happening in real time. Yeah. Money has a weird way of clouding people's judgments. Like it's profound.
It is.
And it's another aspect that I find really fascinating that I don't know enough about like sociology and psychology and like how this like really affects the mind, but man, it's insane watching it like break down live.
Yeah. We're unintentionally like PhD candidates in like sociology and psychology just by being persistently involved in this space. It's like, we have such a deep perspective of like the human condition because of this. Like we get to see like in marketing is largely that, like you become like a marketing force whenever you understand the human condition to like its expertise level.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can actually control the minds. Like that is actually the purpose of marketing. It's like control the minds of your consumer.
Right.
Right. Like, so the people who are like in top positions within that realm of expertise, like they're naturally good at that. They're natural manipulators. Right.
Yeah,
and then
guess
what? Cryptocurrency and marketing is largely driven by marketing and hype and all these things. Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's one of the ugly things about crypto is the marketing part because man, people push out like the bluest and the prettiest like rainbow skies for their token project, and people continuously fall for it. That's another fascinating thing. Like, this whole space is fascinating for like a million reasons, not even the, like just the technical stuff.
The most fascinating thing are these meme tokens. Like, we're literally seeing people in public just like spouting like non-human like interpretable noises.
Just
to pump their bag. Like,
yeah, they see the chart and then they just draw a line that goes straight up, and this, and then,
and they're like, whipty!
Yeah, and then profoundly they're saying, this is my prediction.
Yeah.
It's just the number will just go up.
Just go up. God, why? Man. Because
it's amazing.
Because the Slurpee gods told us.
Because it feels good.
Slurpee token.
Yeah.
You know, Ghibli token.
Because
whatever.
Because I'm hoping my bag goes up.
Right. So I mean, that is very fascinating. It's like, yeah, grown adults are out there like, again, like speaking a whole different language and like, you know, just embarrassing themselves in a sense. It's like, you know, just to kind of like get other people to do it. It's kind of like TikTok. It's like, why is everybody on TikTok out there like fucking doing this and that shit? It's like, we're all fucking dancers now.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like that device has like, again, like tapped into that same, it's not necessarily, for some of them, it actually is like a financial motivation.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, how do I do the dumbest shit on earth to get NPCs, the most eyeballs?
NPCs, I don't think we've ever seen anything more dumber than an NPC on TikTok.
Yeah, that is like the very extreme version. It's like meme coins. It's like you just have one word in your vocabulary that you just have to like perpetually repeat over and over and over and over and over again to get it into people's consciousness.
Yeah.
Doge that. Shiba.
Yeah. I mean, and then we get like random phone calls from family. It's like, hey, should I buy Doge?
Yeah.
Just because so many people just keep spamming that word.
Yeah.
Like, it actually works.
It does work. It's crazy. It's actually madness.
It is madness.
We're manufacturing madness, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, okay, I'm frightened again.
It is.
There's a lot of frightening things happening here, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, so maybe that's like evidence of an actual killer product, though. I'm going to like inject like a devil's advocate position. TikTok is a killer product, and it's mass producing madness in society.
Yeah.
Right? And amongst our children and such. They're becoming like
NPCs.
They're basically like, they're proxies to whatever the TikTok gods tell them to do. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
That's what today's generation is. It's like, here's the people who influence TikTok and culture. All you guys who have it on your phone, just do what we tell you to do.
Yeah.
Like, literally, someone could like flip on the switch. Like, you know what you all need to do? You need to like go on and like fucking turn on your cars in your garage and like open the doors to your house.
Yeah.
It's like, challenge.
Challenge.
The can't breathe challenge.
Yeah.
It's like the monoxide challenge.
Right. That's dangerous, isn't it? I feel like. But so that's madness. So TikTok's a killer app.
Yeah.
So like meme coins, killer app, right?
Right.
Context of that. I don't know.
Just weird. I imagine like walking in on your child and all they're doing is like being an NPC in front of the cell phone. Dude.
It couldn't be any worse than when my dad walked in on me playing MapleStory. Like any less disappointing for him. It was like, I'm sitting there killing like little pixies and fairies. It's like, he's like, damn, dude, that's my son right there.
Same made your thing. Ancestors proud.
I tried to warn you, Iman. I tried.
What do you mean?
I told you not to stop playing that shit, dude.
I didn't waste like 15 years of my life. Is what you're saying? I was having a blast, dude. Killing fucking, you know, pixies. Digital creatures, you know, in Azeroth.
Yeah.
I had a fucking blast, dude. But yeah, is that any more crazy? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. I mean, you know, being an NPC versus like playing video games all day.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it could be considered crazy. It reminds me of this quote that says good times breed weak men and then weak men breeds hard times.
Yeah.
And then hard times breeds strong men.
Something like that.
And then strong men breeds good times.
Keeps going.
And then good times breeds weak men again.
Wow. So where are we at, dude?
So we're at good times right now.
So we're the weak ones.
So we're breeding weak men. Or we could be in like that transition. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure we're the weak ones. I'm pretty sure. You want to know why?
We can do a pull-up contest right now.
Yeah, right.
I'll demonstrate exactly how weak I am like right now.
Live,
dude. Probably not even one pull-up, dude.
Yeah, and this mental weakness is has a bad result, right? We have like this manipulation capability in ourselves to be easily manipulated and coerced to like talk about these stupid things,
mm-hmm.
right? Without, it's so much easier just to talk about stupid things than it is to do due diligence and try to figure out something.
Correct.
Right. And that's why we spend a lot of time like doing research and trying to figure shit out. And that's why we're able to come up with actual usable stuff that people use and deploy content with.
Yeah.
Right. If so many things would be a lot less interesting if it wasn't for us.
I would have to agree with that, dude. That's a good like a t-shirt.
It has been about 10 minutes since we've said bitmap. So
damn it. Okay. Shit.
Fuck.
We're definitely screwed, dude.
You suck. You officially suck, dude. Yeah. It's okay though. All right. So how do we pick this back up?
Yeah. I mean,
hey, we kind of like, okay. So we started this off with just, okay, we had to say something, I guess, because people are like blowing us up in Discord. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you know, WTF guys,
you know, what's crazy. This isn't the only thing that's happening. Right. There's people crumbling like in real time in front of us when a little pressure like turns up.
True.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like up to us to like police this shit and like to say something.
Well, it's
block runners do something.
Yeah. Yes.
This is exhausting, man.
You're speaking specifically about BitNat, right?
Yeah.
So there's a thing happening within the DMT ecosystem. BitNats, not bitmaps.
BitNat. BitNats.
With an S.
With an S, yes.
Okay, BitNats.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, so we made like a mention of it as like somebody's doing something in the DMT ecosystem, leveraging the framework to do something, right? It's like we have to do like an ecosystem overview like we've done for Bitmap.
Yeah.
Like we've done for BRC20s.
Yep.
Like we've done for
track ecosystems.
Everything, right? It's like let's
BitTensor.
Yeah. Let's peer into these different ecosystems that are emerging and see what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. So like BitNats was something that was happening, and then what do you know? A week later, it's like almost half blocked out or something like that.
Yeah, this is insanity. Yeah. And then a lot of people, obviously, you know, BitNats is a pretty complex thing. Mm-hmm. And so they blocked out. The guy says, this is not how it was supposed to work, right? It works this other way. Yeah. And this other way happens to be technically extremely difficult to pull off.
Yeah.
And extremely expensive to do technically.
Mm.
And but people don't understand how any of this stuff works. It's tough. I mean, this is what we try to do. We try to explain how stuff works so that we can leverage this knowledge as a community.
Mm-hmm.
By understanding how this stuff works, we're actually able to contribute to the ecosystem. You know who contributed to the ecosystem? NatCats.
Mm-hmm.
This guy basically front ran us on the update to the standard, which we should be working on right now, but instead we're recording a podcast, right?
Right.
He front ran us because he understood fundamentally how this stuff works.
Yeah.
And we helped them get this stuff on chain because it would follow the standard that we're about to release. And he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's great.
As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull up. Let me pull up Discord. And I want to show this part. I don't think you read this, but on the NatCats announcements, it says NatCats are the first non-arbitrary artwork on Bitcoin is already incredible. However, there's another reason I'm compelled by NatCats and DMT. I think many of you have tapped into a similar realization as well. I believe that a true metaverse requires autonomous dynamics that exist independently from human control, akin to the weather, the tides, the orbit of the planets in the real world.
Beautiful. Now he's cooking. He's right? Cooking.
These dynamics can be created on the blockchain using digital matter.
Yeah.
If you believe this, then you may also believe that activities such as inscribing UNATs on newly introduced Bitcoin blocks from your laptop or discovering the first NatCats with unreleased traits are early metaverse activities, perhaps even more so than visiting the latest centralized big tech metaverse in VR.
Jesus.
I look forward to exploring this further with you all.
Who said that? Was it EV?
Yeah, EV.
God damn, dude.
And then it says, thank you again to NatCats launch partners, The Block Runner and MScribe, to the team at Track, for UNAT indexing and for all the support from all of you.
Wow, dude. Now that is like a fucking...
Well fucking said.
Dude, fucking... Can we get a clap for EV, dude?
Yeah, let's... Round of applause, dude.
Hold on, we got to find
it's,
that.
It's queuing up. It's buffering.
We got to dust off
that. I
don't
remember what button it was. No, not that one.
God damn it.
Sorry, it's this one.
There we go.
It's been a while.
Round of applause.
It's been a while, dude. It's been a dark...
There's no reason to clap in the last couple of weeks until now.
It's because we haven't been talking about bitmap, dude. That was a mistake.
That makes sense.
But damn, dude. God. No, I did not see that.
What? See, this
that's
guy...
who gets it.
He's competent.
Competent?
He understands the technology and the framework.
So that's why
he
built his own script.
We helped him put it on chain. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everybody, as far as we can tell, is talking about NatCats.
Yeah, it's quite the takeover. I mean, I'm seeing people who've never even like thought about, you know, purchasing an ordinal talk about NatCats. It's like, you know what? Now I'm interested in ordinals.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the thing I've been saying is like ordinals are cool and it's great. And, you know, we have all this, you know, these new digital products emerging from within Bitcoin and stuff. But, you know, you look at these things, it's like, yeah, we just went through an entire cycle of doing the exact same thing on Ethereum and all
more
these other
pictures.
Chains. Yeah. But like the NatCats is and Bitmaps, these are like the first iterations of something truly unique and innovative and like brand new.
Yeah.
And it's native to Bitcoin. It's not happening anywhere else.
Yes.
And as far as we believe, it can happen in other chains, but it's going to have nowhere near the impact and
the
value.
The provenance, the value, the...
The thermodynamic.
Yeah, 100%.
There's
no network out there that is more secure than Bitcoin.
Right.
There's no network out there more secure than Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You cannot do this level of thermodynamic security than what we're actively seeing right now.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so what we have here is like two, I guess, visions of like what a real like founder looks like.
Yes.
Somebody who can actually like deliver and execute and like has a vision. And it doesn't like fumble under any pressure. And it's like, you know, that is what it takes. You know, some people are built for this. Some people are not.
Yeah.
Right. We have personal experience building, you know, in being founders in this crypto space for a few years now.
Yeah.
And there's been tons of instances where it's like, we could have easily crumbled under that pressure. And it's like, man, we've just given up.
Yep.
It's like, fuck this. You know what? The metaverse.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Yeah. Dude.
It didn't work. Let's pack our bags and let's just call it a day, right? The metaverse is never going to work.
Yeah, that could easily happen. But the good news is the protocol is working and people who are like properly equipped from like a personal quality standpoint, whatever, to actually bring more value to the ecosystem. I mean, it's been demonstrated through NatCats. And unfortunately, with any technology innovation, it's double-edged.
That's a good point.
You're going to have the other version of that. People who can't handle it. People who won't deliver.
Yeah.
People who will like disappoint the community and the ecosystem overall. This happened since the beginning of crypto's times.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, that's
we saw it on Ethereum, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing it in BRC20s. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it on Track. We're going to see it on DMT. There's going to be people building stuff specifically to extract liquidity from you, specifically. And that is the main motivation. That is the game that they're playing, that they're trying to convince you to partake in.
Yeah, right? Some of those like are actually like the merits behind that. Like if they're actually going to deliver a real product, it's okay, right? Like it's an actual sustainability mechanism that makes sense.
Yeah. But it's a double-edged sword,
right?
Right. Yeah. Some people are going to use all these technologies I mentioned, Track, DMT, BRC20s, whatever. They're going to use these to build actual things.
Correct.
Right? Real things that are real things, right? That have no intention
have
of rug
value.
Pulling, real value, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But those another group of people are going to take the same technology and build not real things designed to take your money.
Yeah.
Right? They will do this. That's why we always say you got to do your own research and never listen to YouTubers for anything.
Yeah.
Don't listen to us. Don't listen to anyone else.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Please.
My goodness. Why is this so difficult?
Well, because that in itself is difficult and it takes time. It's like, I'd rather just kick back, you know, eat my
yeah, my Cheetos,
my Domino's, and yeah. like, you know, 20 minutes, it's like, I know everything I need, I get that I need to know to make a decision. I'm aping in and such, but I mean, you could do that, but just understand, you know, the risk thresholds you take when not supplying yeah. yourself with actual conviction. In other words,
yeah,
right. Personal conviction is a very powerful force. Like that's what
it is.
You know, you see people out there doing these like experimentals, like this is how you approach this incoming bull market. There's 100 tokens I'm going to like throw like $100 into.
Yeah.
As you're basically throwing darts. One of these will surely hit, right? I'm basically gambling.
Sure.
Right. There's no conviction in that. Instead, you could actually do that. You could analyze those 100 different projects.
Yeah.
Find the one that makes like the most sense to you, that you have the most conviction is like actually going to deliver. You've done the research on the team. Mm-hmm. You've done the research on the technology.
Yes.
You've done the research on the market. Is like, is there actually a need for this type of stuff?
Yes.
It's like, okay. What is the position of this project? Oh, it's actually severely undervalued. Oh, this is my one.
Yeah.
I'm convicted. Like I'm in.
Yeah. Right? So instead of putting $1 in each of those 100 tokens, put $100 in what you believe in.
Or what's yeah, whatever. Yeah. That's yeah. You guys come up with your allocation.
Yeah.
Entertainment allocation.
For sure.
budgets on your own. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
Dude, this is very exhausting. That's why we try to stick with things that are interesting, because every now and then, even with all this noise, there's a couple of things that are interesting.
Yeah,
I agree. And one thing might be interesting, and there's a 99 other things that are like a bunch of noise.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
Yeah. Okay, I think we said it all we had to say, dude. Any closing like thoughts here? It's like, hopefully by this, we've been saying this, hopefully next time you guys see us, we'll be talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to get back on that interview train because, yeah, I mean, again, we want to find out what's interesting out there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people working on interesting things. Let's talk about it.
Right? Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, we do need to come up with some sort of solution to like talking about projects, though, because we can't talk about projects when we have like, you know, like this like explosion of stuff happening. And maybe that's like the unintended consequence of us talking. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when we talk, it's about interesting things and not to pump anybody's bags.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't interpret like anything we say as like a signal. It's like, dude, yeah. this is like
no.
must.
And we must ape. It's like block runner talked about token, must go in.
No, that's like, not our purpose here, guys.
Also, this was not a bitmap video.
No, this is definitely
talk about bitmap.
No. We hate bitmaps. This is not a bitmap video.
Yeah.
And
failed experiment.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. It's been competed away.
competed away. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
It's just out competed, bro. That's it. Yeah. It's over.
So. It's over. Yeah. All right. Well, on that positive note, I appreciate you guys for watching. If you have any comments, thoughts, let us know in the comment section below. Mm-hmm. And I guess if this video disgruntles you, send it to an enemy.
That's right.
And maybe they'll hate you for that.
Yeah.
It's good for them. Good for you. Them.
Good for, yeah. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Everybody wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Except Bitmap, though. Bitmap never wins.
No. Yeah.
never will
failed,
win.
Failed experiment, failed right. proposition, all that stuff. So, all right, guys. Appreciate you for watching, and we will catch you in the next podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Block Runner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at TheBlockRunner.